Blog Talk Radio.
Great day to everybody. How are you this morning? It is an exciting day. We are alive. We are alive. I heard a guy say last week, he said, I'm not looking at roots this morning. I don't know. I guess everybody has their own little idea or concept of I'm not 6 feet under or whatever it was. But we're just glad to be alive today. It's another opportunity for us to fulfill, for us to reach for the goal, for us to move towards the thing that the Father is calling us to, for us to be in proper alignment and in position. It's another idea for us to identify more of Him and identify some more things about ourselves, you know, and I'm just excited to be here. You are with Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide, the company of prophetic intercessors session. There's a divine warfare frequency of sons that the Father has downloaded for release in the earth. It's in every one of the sons and collectively joined together, we are forced to be reckoned. There is a resounding. This is the time of the cry of the sons. And in that cry, heavenly hosts support the cry of the sons. In other words, when the sons begin to cry out, the angelic hosts, the angelic agencies begin to come to our aid, and supernatural intervention begins to happen on behalf of the sons. We want you to join us this morning from all over the world. We're thankful that you have joined us this morning. And for those of you who have not shared the broadcast, feel free to share the broadcast. Join us this morning for this prophetic intercession session. During this setup, this is a setup for our get up. It's a setup for breakthrough. It's a setup for breakout, for breaking out of some places and some things, even in the mind. And that's one of the things that the Father really wants me to address this morning. We're going to deal with some things about the mind. There will be a hearing this morning. We will receive and we will know the divine functions that the Father is calling us into on this day, because it's a daily bread thing. You know, He doesn't give us all of everything all the time. He doesn't give us every part of the direction. He gives us an instruction. And that is the direction. The instruction is the direction. I think sometimes we get really messed up or mixed up thinking that He's supposed to give us the whole thing. And you know, it's almost a disservice to yourself not to put yourself in a position of trust, because you feel like if He's not telling you the whole thing, then you can't get with it. But that's a mistake, because He knows the end from the beginning. And if He's already been where He's sending you, then He already knows the victory that's ahead of you. And you just have to, you know, wrap your head around the fact that this may not be the way that you thought you should go. Maybe it's not the way that you want to go. Maybe you want to cut corners or however that works. But at the end of the day, the Father already knows where you're headed. He knows the way that we take is what the word says. He knows the way that we take. I'm going to give you guys just a few minutes to call somebody, invite somebody, get them on the line this morning. I'm excited to have a bunch of you here already. I'm going to open your lines just shortly after this quick break. I'm going to give you guys a chance to get somebody on here this morning. being here again from all over the world. We're excited to be here to take this time to fellowship with you this morning. We'll be here for the next 28 days. I mean, you know, we're not counting it as in every day, even though we pray every day. We're just counting the days that we'll be here together, and that's Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. until we get off the line. So just excited to be here with you. I'm going to open up the line and just say good morning to some of the people that are on the line this morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you here this morning. Good morning. I've opened up your line. Just wanted to make sure that you knew that your line was open. And you can mute on your end if you need to, because I want you to be able to be available whenever you need to be able to share this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Prophet. How are you?
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's a good thing to be alive, right?
Yes, thank you.
It is. I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that I've been pondering, it was like right on the tip of my tongue, but it'll come back to me this direction that I wanted to go. One of the things I've been pondering is this thing about the mindset. It's really it's really an integral part of how we function. It's really an integral part of everything about our lives is our mindset. And particularly the enemy's desire to go after how we're thinking about things, because the imagery, the imagination is what's used to produce things. The imagination is what's used to manifest. Now, it sounds like, you know, just kind of a general conversation, but it's really a deep conversation, because you've been manifesting your whole life, actually, in one way or another. And it's been based on your imagery, how you see a thing, what you think about a thing, and then what you're pondering about it. And it just seems so odd to me that when we come into the kingdom, so to speak, all of a sudden, and I think part of that is because a lot of us went through the church to get to this kingdom mentality, so there are still things that we're shedding. but for some reason, when we get into the kingdom or get near anything that's spiritual on this side of the fence, I'm trying to delineate and trying to share it the way I need to this morning, because the truth of the matter is, just being spiritual, a lot of spiritual people understand manifestation. Now, when it comes to understanding manifestation, that's a whole nother level of something. The disconnect with that is baffling to me, because, like I said, we've been manifesting our whole lives. We've been thinking about a thing, pondering a thing, and then it'll happen. Like, there are often times that you're thinking of someone and they'll call you, you know, like just out of nowhere. It almost seems
right.
Like it's out of nowhere, but it's not out of nowhere. But we've been operating in certain gift sets. These are things that are a part of who we are, because we were made in the likeness and the image of the Father. Now, some things we tend to overlook. And so because those things are overlooked, they're not activated. They're not actualized all the time. But it doesn't mean that they're not there. It just means that they're dormant. So we've got a lot of dormant kingdom operations in us as sons. And this is the season, I believe, to tap back into. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, it's been a lot of tapping into things over the last year or so. It's just been a tapping in, you know, like remembering some things. And, you know, the Father's had me going back even to some messages that I preached 4 or 5 years ago, just going back into the archives, going and retrieving my stuff from other places where I've ministered, you know, other people's sites or other people's stuff, just retrieving stuff and re-listening to some of those things. And it's such an interesting journey when the Father takes you back. I think the purpose often of being taken back is so that we can see where we missed some things, or where we could have really maximized some things, you know? But this mentality, and one of the particular things that he was talking about was stronghold. You know, a stronghold is anything that's been fortified. You know, it's the thing that protects attack, okay? A place, particularly, and that's very important that we understand that it's not the thing, it's a location, okay? It's a place that has been fortified. It happens in a location, and we're talking specifically of the mind, where the mind begins to have a fortification, a fortified element to it, like a gate or a fortress or a hedge, okay? You guys are familiar with a hedge. Some of the other or some similar words to stronghold is a fortress, a fort, a castle, citadel, a tower. These things are describing the strength of something and the authority of a thing, okay? And the reason why a thing is fortified is to protect it against attack, right? Now, we know that we can look at Job's life and we can see that the adversary is clearly discussing a fortified place. He's discussing Job as having a hedge. And the father's saying, have you considered my servant Job? But he's like, yeah, I've checked him out, but I mean, he got a hedge and I can't get through the hedge. I think the thing about it is that just like the adversary can't get through the hedge when there's a hedge up, neither can the spirit of Yah get through the hedge. I know we want to think, oh, well, you know, God can do anything, and he absolutely can. The problem with that mentality is that he is established rules and he doesn't break his own rules. He doesn't break his own rules, okay? He's given man charge of the earth. He's also given man charge of himself. That's why he's out there. You often see throughout the scripture, be mindful, you know, take heed to yourself. You know, it's always this element of self-identification. When he meets with Adam in the garden, when Adam and his significant other have missed the mark, he says, where are you? This is a take heed to yourself. Where are you located? What's going on with you? You know what I'm saying? Because he's not going to bombard us with his presence. He's not going to force himself on us. Then it would not be a choice. He's given man freedom of choice. And in that freedom of choice, we should freely be choosing him because of all that he's done, because of all that he is. This should really be a simple choice, but we would be surprised that often, if we could look back over our life, there have been times when we didn't choose him, you know? And a lot of not choosing him is out of ignorance. And so we want to kind of deal with some areas of stronghold today just for a moment, because I think this is really it's really important. We're going to have to pull some things down. We're going to have to identify some things and some areas, you know, because you can get it in your heart and in your mind. I used to have this thing. I used to talk all the time about having contracts with yourself. You know, you could create personal contracts with yourself. You know, people do it all the time. Well, you know, if they have been married before and it didn't work out, or maybe they've been married several times and it didn't work out, they never considered that they just were connecting with the wrong people, or that they just, their discernment was not working well. It's always, marriage don't work, so I'm never getting married again. It's all of these things. Well, by the time I get 25, I want to be married and have 3 children. You know, all of these things that are established in the heart and in the mind, we affix ourselves to things or covenant with ourselves, make these personal covenants and these personal convictions about things that really, it's really not necessary to do, because we want to really just be able to be fluid and move as the Father is instructing us to move as he's directing us to move. But often when we set up these fortified situations, when we set up these strongholds, and if the Father begins to speak to us outside of the stronghold that's established, we don't think it's him, or we think it's an adversary, or we think it's not the thing that we should do. And so I want to speak to that this morning, because there are times when we have to process back through things that we've already been through. And it's going to be a disservice if we don't understand that that process is for getting us to the promise. Okay. If we don't understand that process is for getting us to the promise, we'll often fail, we'll faint when we should be reinvigorated or allowing ourselves to be refreshed by his presence so we can continue on the journey. We'll just stop. We'll give up. You know, we'll quit. And the thing about quitting and giving up and all of those areas is that often the give up usually happens right before the breakthrough. So I'm really wanting to encourage you this morning that this is not a time for quitting. This is not a time for relenting. This is not a time for giving up. This is not a time for changing your mind. This is a time to just identify what the Father is saying and move full speed ahead. Move in that thing. That's the thing that the adversary is horrified about. And I will tell you this, that if you are receiving a bunch of challenge in a direction that the Father has spoken to you about, I mean, like you're receiving a bunch of challenge, like it's just challenge after challenge. As who said the road was going to be easy? You know, who said that on the journey there would not be any form of warfaring or any time for you to have to protect yourself, that there would not be any need for weaponry or any, nobody said that. I don't know, you know, I don't know. It's just when things don't go the way that we think they should go, it's just something about that just we get stuck in that place. And I'm telling you this morning, this thing was just really, really on me. I was like, wow, why is this thing pressing me so hard? Because I was pressing through a thing. Like, and there were some things that I was dealing with. And so I'm speaking from experience. There were some things that I was dealing with and some things that I really needed to process through. And often when we're needing to process through something, sometimes people are attached to that process. And I was dealing with some things that I needed to get done or accomplished, some people that were hired to do a job, people that were supposed to be handling something, and they just abandoned ship. And I was like, Father, you know, this is what I need. I don't have time to look for somebody else to do it. But I really had to just hanker down and just trust him in this area. And when I just said, you know what, I'm giving it to you. I'm not worried about it no more, because if you don't want it done, then it won't be done. So wherever I wind up, that's where, I mean, whatever this outcome is, okay, fine. I mean, that's just, that is clearly what you want. And so I'm really wanting to be in whatever position you want me to be in, you know. So whatever that looks like, I'm bracing myself for it. I'm knowing that victory is on the other side of it, but that process sometimes can be grueling to your flesh. That process at times can really be a challenge because, again, I think the biggest part of the challenge is that we have our mind set on what we think it should look like. And I think if we take that off the table when we're dealing with it won't be such a difficult thing. If we could just take that off the table, this is what I think it should look like. And if it don't go this way, then it's an automatic misunderstanding. It's a problem for me. No, just let's just take our own idea of what it should be, or the process that it should undergo, because often we know what it should be, because the Father will give us, this is the end of this, right? We get the end, but it's the process. Man, that process is something else. I'm going to open up the line just for a minute and let you guys share what you're hearing and what you're seeing about this process, because I believe that this area right here, if we could break the barrier of this in this area, this stronghold that comes into the mind that sets up a position of protecting against, you know, just like you can protect against the adversary, you can protect against the Father from getting in. And that's serious, because we want him in. Yeah, lift up your heads, O ye gates, right? Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory, he'll come in. But we've got to lift up those gates. We cannot be so closed off that we cannot receive from him. And we're often, again, sometimes you don't want to hear start over. Sometimes you don't want to hear go back to the starting line. Sometimes you don't want to hear that. But guess what? The gun is yet firing. And if you're not ready when the gun fires, you'll be behind everybody that's running. You know, you'll just be behind. So I'm going to open up the lines and let you guys share what you're hearing, what you're seeing. This is a real place, and I believe this is an area that really needs to be addressed this week. I was also hearing, and I'll probably bring that up tomorrow, I think the thing that is fascinating me is how the Father's bringing up these conversations from the past. But the 10 spies, that's really been on me for the last week or so. And what it reminds me of is that I went through a season where it was just a full year where I was telling my children, I kept telling them, don't be like the children of Israel. This was when they were a little bit younger. And I kept saying to them, whatever you do, it was a season where I was really ingraining that in their mindset, in their psyche. Whatever you do, don't be like the children of Israel. And I think one of the things that's a real disservice to the people that call themselves sons of Yah is that there's not enough reading going on. We don't read enough. So because we don't read enough, we've not assimilated enough of the word to identify with the lessons that we need to be identifying with. He said these things were written for your learning. But if you're not reading, you're not learning. If you're not reading, you're not learning. And if you're reading with a preconceived notion, you're not learning either because you think you already know. And so those things are just, man, I'm going to stop talking for a few minutes and just let you guys share. But remember, we're on the live line, so please don't leave it empty. Just go ahead and jump in. If you jump in at once, you guys will give way to the other, and that'll be fine. But, man, this thing is something else this morning.
Yeah, well, I was just receiving that same message just in a different way.
Mm-hmm,
and
sure.
You know, it's about just staying focused. You know, mm-hmm. it's like whatever we put our attention on is what grows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's staying focused, you know, on what I have planned to do, what I want to do, or set plans to do. So my focus is to continue to, you know, set the plans up and set the atmosphere. So, and I've been praying it a lot, you know, lately, like, Father, set the atmosphere of my day, set the atmosphere of my night. And I was talking to my daughter about it. And I was saying that, you know, when I pray to the Father about setting the atmosphere, it's setting the things up that I don't even know of, you know,
mm-hmm.
that can be, you know, ascertained in my day or in my night, you know, for his knowledge to flow through, for, you know, his spirit to flow through, that I could, you know, could break some, like you said, break some strongholds, some places
mm-hmm.
where your mindset is stuck in this area. And I know for me, it's this thing about fear and depression, guilt, shame,
mm-hmm.
Doubt,
mm-hmm.
and you know, all these other low places,
low frequencies.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, in the mind and in your spirit and your body, and it's
mm-hmm.
like we don't even really understand that. You know, when we think about it, like how do you feel when you think a positive thought versus how do you feel when you think a negative thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I even find that the struggle in even ascertaining or maintaining a positive vibe, you know, staying on that high vibe, so to speak, you know, high frequency, to where you want to manifest what it is you want to manifest. But sometimes, like you said, with that struggle of that stronghold of, you know, remembering what was, but you got to let go of what was so that you can live in your presence. And
mm-hmm.
in your presence is where you're trying to maintain and keep that positive mindset or that focus, that focal point of this is what I want, you know. And so I find that being a challenge, but also when we kind of like let ourselves down, when we you know, fall back into or let something get to us, I think that we have to be patient with ourselves, because a lot of times we think that change supposed to happen so quickly for us, and we want to happen quickly because we want to hurry up through a thing. But if you hurry up through this process, you won't pick up the you know, the tools that you need. You won't pick up the knowledge that you need to maintain where you're going. And so I have to remind myself of that, that I don't, you know, want to keep rushing to hurry up through something. And so I just try to be patient with myself. And I remember when I was in hair school, and it was like, you know, the younger students were just like, oh, we went through this. We got to go through this chapter again. And so the teacher was getting a little frustrated. And so I said, well, you know what? I don't mind. I love it. I said, because what it's doing is that it's putting in my subconscious mind. And I said, and then you'll know it. I said, because when you were younger, what did you do? You repeat those alphabets and those numbers over and over and over again to the point to where you can sing the alphabet song if you watch Sesame Street, you know what I'm saying, or the number song. And so it's like those things takes me back to say, okay, you're not going to get it right out the gate. So I don't even know where we even picked that up. It's like we picked up this thing where people make you feel inadequate because you don't get it as fast as others, or the fact that you didn't get it, you got to keep, rehearsing it in order to get it. So, you know, and I kind of think it comes from school. You know,
I think you might be right that it comes from that, because it's the grading scale that creates that dynamic.
Yes.
I think. Because how school work is about memorization. It's not as much about assimilation. And how the kingdom works is about assimilation. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart. That don't mean the memorization of a thing. See, people are looking to memorize a thing that they have no images for. They don't have any, you know, the Father's desire is for you to create imagery based on what he's saying. So you can see a picture. You know what I'm saying? Then you get the lesson. But if I just memorize something, that don't mean I have to know what it means. I just memorized it. I can just quote it. You know,
exactly.
So I think that's about that grading thing, and that's probably where that comes in at. But in the kingdom, that's not a factor. You know, he's not trying to grade you on what you've memorized. He's dealing with what's in your heart. What have you assimilated? You know what I'm saying? What images have you created about who I am and what these things are based on what you've read? Not did you remember everything, but what's the mental picture of it? You know.
Exactly. And that, so for me, even what you're saying, that is just like, you know, we took that and we ran with it, because even in, you know, I remember being in church settings where it was about, you know, the Bible and you know, rehearsing
memorizing
the scriptures, or you learn memorizing the scriptures where you rehearse them to memorize them. But, you know, it's like, But what are your actions into what are you doing with your daily life? What are your actions? And when you're coming into contact with somebody that you feel, you know, is out of pocket, or you felt like, you know, they offended you, what are your actions on that? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like a lot of times the actions were very contrary to what the word was, and it's even from the head, you know, from people that are over you, and you know, and over them. And so it's like then
they say, I'm just growing, you know, be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. That's the mentality.
The excuse. And so then it was the other thing too, was that looking at, and I understand we do have to be patient with one another, because we do, you know, our personality is gonna, you know, come through, because we're gonna be who we are, you know. And so I'm like,
well, let me ask you this, because I love that point that you made. We are gonna be who we are. Should who we are be offensive, and should who we are be just nasty or whatever that is, you know, because people feel like, oh, well, I'm not going to do this or that because I don't want to be nasty to nobody. You shouldn't be nasty. So it don't matter whether you communicate with people right now in this moment or not communicating. Yes, there are times when we need to go away and kind of be off to ourselves or whatever to pull ourselves together or get our minds right or whatever. But if I encounter somebody while I'm in that process or going to my space, I'm not getting ready to snap on them because I'm going through something. That's
but most
to our
times,
character or who we are.
And most times we do, though, that because this is something I learned when I was working at the funeral home. The wife of the owner, the husband, he had she had came in and she told me, she said, listen, you know, I'm gonna prepare you for this job. She says that people are hurting right now and they're afraid. So they're gonna come in here and they're gonna have attitudes, they're gonna give you attitude, they're gonna be angry with, you know, seeming to be angry with you. They're gonna, you know, give you a hard time and just all this kind of stuff. And then she was like, I just want you to be patient with them, because what it is that they're afraid, they're hurting, they're angry. So she's like, basically just, you know, just understand where they are and not respond to where they are, because where they are is you gotta understand, just to show them compassion and patience.
Right. Yeah, and that's I can get with that when we're dealing with customer service, because we don't know, people are coming from all kind of walks. When we're dealing with the sons, when we're dealing with one another, there are certain things that the Father's established for how we should deal with one another. You know what I'm saying? Just across the board, we should be patient with people. But when you're talking about you dealing with something and you biting my head off because you're dealing with something, as brethren, when we could just reason together, you could just, I mean, I'm open, you know, I can help bear the burden if you need me to, you know what I'm saying? But instead, it's a fight instead of a fellowship, you know what I mean?
So I get it.
In that situation, that's particularly what I'm dealing with, is the fact that as brethren, there's a certain way that we're supposed to handle one another. How we're handling the world, that's a whole nother story. There's nothing we can do about them having a bad attitude or a bad day or whatever that is. But that shouldn't be our place. That shouldn't be function with one another.
The scripture that comes to mind to me is that a soft answer turns away wrath. So that's,
we have instructions,
you know,
right? Instructions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the scripture that came to mind for me. But, you know, again, when people are hurting, they're not really even aware of what they're saying and doing. It's like, you know, they're lashing out because they don't. And that was another thing too, like even in your family, when you know you're hurting or something like that, if you can't get to the person that has hurt you, or you don't know how to deal with them, you take it out on someone else, you know. And that's just some behavior we learned in regards to not having emotional intelligence, which you were speaking about, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So with us gaining that emotional toughness, and I think that's something that we need to be, you know, brought to a mindset about, like, look, let's teach some of this stuff. We got to teach some emotional toughness, you know what I'm saying? Because some people just don't know. We weren't given that when we're children. You know, it's like you get hurt, and like a person hurts you, your parent mad. So when they mad, they mad at that person, but they taking out on you because they can't get to that person. You know what I'm saying? So you're the one that's already wounded from being hurt by a person, but then they take their frustration and anger out on you more. So now you're double traumatized. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we just do because we weren't taught. So a lot of things, like now when I reflect on my parents, I don't do the blame game. I used to do that, but I don't do the blame game no more, because I have to understand, just like with me, none of us are perfect, but I also understand that we all, you know, we can only give what we have. If they didn't have it to give, then I can't like blame them for not having it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I just feel like we all got these growing curves to go through, these growing edges to expand or expound about. But in that, still, it's still a matter of, like you said, you know, spending time with the Father, learning what imagery that is, because there is a big difference between a memory and imagery. Because memory, when you think about a memory is of the past. You know what I'm saying? A memory is nothing that you really utilizing for today. A memory is something that has already happened. So if I'm memorizing something, I'm just putting that in a perspective in my mind. This is where I'm at. It's going into, like, this is just a jar that I'm putting something in that's in the past. I'm putting in, I'm capping it up. That's in the past. and when I can go back to that jar and open it back up and pull out what I need, but I don't have an imagery with it. And it was like for a long time, when you don't have that imagery with things, like when your creative energies or creative juices or you know are not flowing, and you feel like you're stuck, and it's because that imagery is not there. You know what I'm saying? For you not to be able mm-hmm. to see a thing. So I remember a period of my life when I was I just felt stuck. And I felt stuck because it just seems like I just could not grasp any thoughts past what I was in. Like mm-hmm. I could not see past mm-hmm. it. I could not see past it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up watching a movie that Patch Adams with Robin Williams. I watched that movie, and when I watched that movie, it was so profound to me that. It was an older man in there that Robin Williams came across. He mm-hmm. he put himself in a mental institution. He came across this man was a genius. He put himself in a mental institution too.
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right, so he can get a break, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the older man was in the room. So Patch went to talk to him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go and visit him. So he goes and see him this particular day and. He told him, he held up his fingers. He told him, look at his fingers. He said, how many fingers am I holding up?
Mm-hmm.
So he was holding up four fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked Patch, how many fingers am I holding up?
Mm-hmm.
And Patch said, four fingers. He's like, no, you crazy. You just like all the rest of them in here. You don't. And he mm-hmm. got frustrated. So Patch was like, what's going on, So he left out, whatever. He chased him out of there. And so Pat still didn't give up. He went back in there talking to him again. So the man's coffee cup would leak. So Pat took a piece of tape and taped it up so the coffee cup wouldn't leak.
Mm-hmm.
So then
mm-hmm.
when he did that, the man opened up and said, again, how many fingers am I holding up? He says,
mm-hmm.
four. So he says, no, I want you to look past the problem and look at me.
Mm-hmm.
So when he looked past the four fingers to look at the man, he didn't see the four fingers. He saw eight.
Mm-hmm.
So when he saw that, he said, now you got it. So it was just like not to stay focused on that problem, not to stay focused on what we're in, not
yeah.
staying focused on, the situation that we got to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
We had to look past the problem for the solution.
Right.
And so, and saying that, it's like I know that, our pain, our fears, our doubts, all those things come up and our frustration comes up again, like with starting over, with not knowing what's going to happen next, with change in itself is like very, very,
challenging.
Sometimes
it's challenging.
Can be, very challenging for us. And so, with accepting change, we go through all of those different emotions. But what do we do with these emotions? Because when we suppress them, all it does is create anxiety. It creates anger.
Yep.
It creates,
mm-hmm.
Us being
resentment and bitterness and all kind of.
Yes. And so
mm-hmm.
those are the things that where you when you were speaking, it came up for me. It's just like, look, let's not stay stuck on these things. We need to find our solutions. We need to, like you said, create that imagery of what the Father says for us. And so what mine was for me to focus on. The Father says he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for me.
That's
I
it.
May not see it, and I may not know
That's
it, but he
That's
has a
right.
plan for me. And with that plan,
That's what you have to believe,
I
though.
May be going
That's
through all the Yes. And so
mm-hmm.
I may be going through all these different trials and tribulations
Emotions.
Or these different challenges, and emotions while I'm going through it. And then
mm-hmm.
even the point of even fear when I know I'm about to go through something because I'm about to
mm-hmm.
change, a situation. So it's kind of like, like you said, you have to brace yourself. You hunker down or hanker down. And for me,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, Father, help me to handle change better. Help me to handle and accept change better so that I can move more swifter in what you're moving me into. Not that I'm going to get it right away because I know I'm
mm-hmm.
in the process, But mm-hmm. even in my process, Father, give me the grace to endure what I'm encountering. Help me to gain mm-hmm. the knowledge. So, and not only gain the knowledge, but because sometimes we can go through something and we can miss things. So it's like, you know, I don't want to just remember, but I do want to remember because I want to be able to hold fast to what you're teaching me in regards to my lesson that I can mm-hmm. utilize these tools later on. So,
and share the tools. I mean, a lot of times we don't understand that we are learning
yeah.
or going through processes, and it's not just for us. It's for other people.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
when it becomes a real problem because we're having all these emotions and having all this anxiety and going through all these changes because we're making it about us. And that's the thing. See, when it's about us, then we have an issue. But when we can understand and identify, it's not just about me. Because, see, this is how the master got through his situation with the wilderness. This is how he got
yeah.
through his situation with his death. All of that
yeah.
was a result of him recognizing, him having something set before him. This is not just about me. And if I keep this in my focus, it's not just about me. This is about others. This is about the sons that are coming after me. This is not just about me. I got to do what I got to do because they got to be okay. They got to have a different perspective. They got to see it differently. So if I go through it and I become what I need to become, then I can impart what I become to them and they can become. And then somebody else will see them and hear them and become. And it's just it's a system.
That it is, and like you said, with the process, that's very profound because even with that, just hearing you say that, it just rings out hope for me. It just rings out
yes.
strength for me to
yes.
say, okay, yes. Father, you know, you're gonna bring me through this because you brought me to it. You know what I'm saying? So me to learn
Period.
A lesson because it's not just for me. It's
yeah.
for
yeah.
it's for those that come behind me and for you know. And
yeah.
and I think for me too also is that when it comes down to going through these types of situations, that fear gets us because it feels like God, am I gonna make it through this, Lord? Am I gonna make it through? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, am I gonna live through this? Am I gonna?
But
am
but
I gonna,
see, go back to what I just said. Am I?
Yeah, because you know what I'm saying. You saying am I, but because it is you going through it. You know what I mean?
You are
that's
going
the reality
through it.
Of it all.
That's
the point. And so, and the reality is that we have emotions connected to that. So we need to
yes.
deal with that. We need to face that. We need to be honest with ourselves about that.
That's right.
And when we
that's right.
and when we what we're doing for as far as I can see, you know, we have been taught, you know, conditioned that. You can't really be honest with what you feel. You can't
and
be vulnerable because somebody's taking advantage
no,
of you.
You have to.
And, you know, and that you can't.
Well, you
got
to know who to be vulnerable
with,
though. You do need to know
you
who
do,
to be vulnerable
but you,
with.
You definitely that. But it's still just the point of, you know, of like, I can't be honest about what I'm feeling. Father, I'm afraid that I don't have the strength to get through this. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he
you
said, let the man who says he's weak be strong. Because he's
well, he
weak.
Said, let the weak
I'm,
say I'm strong. Let the
strong.
Weak
let
say.
The weak say I'm strong. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm like, Father, I'm weak right now. You know what I'm saying? Like
mm-hmm.
we can address those things with him. But when we don't even want to face it ourselves, or face
yeah.
our truth about where we at, what we feeling, what we expecting, what we afraid of, what we you know, it's like okay, I'm expecting this, but Father, I'm afraid. What if this don't happen? What if that don't happen? What if this doesn't come through? You know, those things that we need to face. But again, I also know that as long as we understand that. We're creating, and that we're gonna go through the process of going back and forth with that knowledge of letting go of old knowledge with transforming our minds, letting go of the old knowledge that we've been conditioned with to ascertain the knowledge that the Father has given us to be transformed. But we're gonna toggle back and forth until we finally get it because that's what change is about. When we were learning
mm-hmm.
those alphabets. You know, you would get to C and D and forget get an alphabet or even if singing a song, you know, when you're teaching the children or your grandbabies a song, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're singing an alphabet song with them, whatever, they get to LMNOP because you're saying it so fast. They
mm-hmm.
run it all together. They can't even decipher that those are four different
mm-hmm.
letters, you know what I'm saying?
They sound like a whole word to them, LMNOP.
A whole word. Yes. And so you begin to break it all down slowly. And so then you'll see, you know, even with them, like, they'll toggle back and forth with. Some days they'll give you all alphabets. Other days they'll give you a few. Other days they'll give you more than some, you know, that what they did before. So, and that's what I just feel like, Lord, help us to know that we're going to toggle and to be patient with ourselves in that toggling. And even in that toggling, it's like the frustration of, Father, am I going to make it through this? You know, and so we just need that reassurance from the Father. And I don't think it's nothing that we have to, you know, feel bad about when we're, like, feeling vulnerable or feeling exposed or feeling like, you know, we're right now we're weak, you know. So and then professing the words that the Father says, that the weak say I am strong. And
that's the key right there.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I do that because it's kind of like going through the I am process of my affirmation, you know, affirming myself. And even though this is where I am, you know, in regards to whatever situation you're saying, when you're speaking of the strongholds or, you know, those things that's keeping the focus of our minds of you know, where we don't want to be versus where we want to be. So I'm learning to keep my mind focused on where I want to be, where I want to go, versus what we were conditioned to think. Well, you just gonna have to work somebody's job. You got to do this. You got to do that. We got to abide by the world's rules. If it's contradictory to the Father, no, I don't. You know what I mean? But most people will be like, yes, you do. You can't make it unless you this, unless you that. And so many times, you know, even in some venues, you look at this is supposed to be, like you said, we're the sons, but here's the son treating another son like crap and doing things that the world would do to the son, not as a son would do to another son. So when it comes to those things like that, that's kind of like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm just going to hold my brother down or my sister down in prayer more. But also myself, because I need to, you know, handle this in a different way. And for one, I'm learning not to take a lot of things personal, you know, that other people do. Like, because that a lot of times I'm realizing that people project onto you their stuff, you know. So that's all of that was intertwined with what you were talking about for me.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, when you started out, you were talking about setting atmospheres. And I think one of the things that is so necessary is that we understand what everybody's role is in relationships. I believe that that's one of the biggest areas that cause the most confusion in a relationship, in kingdom relationships, is that we have to identify roles, you know, who plays what role. And oftentimes, it's just like, again, it goes back to our training. Oftentimes, we're asking the Father to do what he's asking us to do. Or we're asking him for something he's already given us. You know what I mean? So it's just about really identifying inside of that relationship what's been provided. So like when you go and work a job, right, they're going to tell you what they expect of you. That's your job description, right? So when you put down whatever you put down on your application, your resume or whatever, those were all qualifying measures that would identify whether you qualify for the position or not. Now, when they give you the job, they're stating, okay, you qualify for what we're looking for, right? So now this is your job description. And they don't mix their description, their job up with what your job description is. If they are the business, and you are working for the business, they're not going to give you CEO responsibility. Because that's not your role. You're not the CEO. You're the secretary. You know what I'm saying? And so I think, or you're the manager. And I think that we're missing the fact that even in the kingdom, there are roles that are assigned to us. Everybody has their particular role. You know, even in the body, we all have a particular role because we all have a particular gift set or calling or identification as far as that's concerned. So this is what we're bringing to the table. when it comes to how the Father is working, he's saying, yeah, this is our role. Okay, so you're not going to battle without what you need because I'm calling you to the battle, you know? When we mentioned scriptures like put on the whole armor of Yah last week. Well, you didn't buy the armor yourself. He provided.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? He said, you're not going to battle in anything that I'm talking about, and you don't have provision, just like people don't go to the military and provide their own uniform. You know, these things like are across the board, and we miss these things for some reason because we have these other ideas of how things work, you know. So even if I'm going to battle or whatever it is, I don't have to be afraid. I have what I need. You know, if I've been trained properly, then I know how to utilize what I have as well. But if I have not been properly trained, then I need to spend time being trained how to use my weapon. And I think that's the breakdown as well, Prophet, when people have not been trained to use their weapons and you're just kind of going out there. You got guns, but you don't really know how to aim or pull the trigger or none of that, and you're just out there with guns. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound to get injured. You're bound to hurt yourself or get hurt.
Someone else.
Yeah, or get hurt because you're not prepared for your adversary. And I believe that this is where we are across the board, that people are needing to identify what roles are, what role they play, how their weapons work. Are your weapons clean? You know, is your armor repaired? Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these things are necessary. So we set an environment, you know, we set an environment for the Father's presence. When we set that environment, we can be assured he's going to show up because he's already promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So I threw that out there just for the sake of how church people think, well, he's going to show up. Well, he's already present. The only place he doesn't dwell in is where flesh is. You know, he's like, no, I don't have nothing to do with the flesh part now. That ain't got nothing to do with me. He'll exit a room on flesh, you know.
Right.
You to take me, but if you leave me, you walk away and doing your own thing. I'm not going to really chase you down to put you back in alignment. You're going to have to get in alignment, you know. Because I've already given you where I am and who I am, and you know how I function. And if you don't, you'll have to identify that and come back and let's work all that out. Come, let us reason together. You know, I mean, it's all throughout the scripture. It's not a mystery. It's just that people haven't read it. So because we don't read, we don't know roles. And when we don't know roles, we're speaking over everybody's line. You know. What we're supposed to be doing, we're trying to get a father to do what he's supposed, what he does. We're trying to do his job. That's the confusion. I mean, think about it. That's the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the confusion, you know. So, and again, that comes from the strongholds that are set up in the mind, things that we have identified with, things that people taught us or either were caught. They might not necessarily be taught. Maybe some of it was caught. You know, that this is what you do. You got to be strong, and and all of that's great. You know, having some strength and some courage. You got to be strong enough of good courage. This has to do with stuff, not you know. In general, you just got to be strong. Okay, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean when I'm hurting?
What
does that look like when I'm wounded? You know. The word that came up was trauma.
Yeah.
And people are not dealing with their traumas. So when you don't deal with your traumas is that they keep coming up. You know, you can learn more verses, you can read more, whatever, but if you don't address your trauma, it's going to continue to come up.
Yeah. And then the thing about that, too, is when you were saying all that, is that what came to mind for me, I just felt like... overwhelmed. I felt overwhelmed, and I felt overwhelmed with like all the things that it seems like all the things we have to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and then that comes in to play with like the strength of can I do this, you know, or am I feeling inadequate that I can't do it? Do I even think I can do it? You know what I mean? All of those things came up to mind, and then it was just like, you know, are we believing in ourselves? Are we, you know what I'm saying? Like, are we even thinking along those lines of, can we do? What, you know, what do we realize our limitations are? And it's like sometimes you can put a limitation on yourself and you really don't even know because you didn't even push yourself because you didn't even, you know, feel like from before you had been so downtrodden. You feel like you can't even, you know, measure up. So it's like all of that, you know, encompasses what you were and when you went straight into it, trauma. All those traumas from the childhood that, you know, we got to address that needs to, you know, give way to voice and then give way to healing to or whatever that healing may be or what, you know, what you feel it is. But it's
I think that part of that is, too, that we have to, again, it's about roles, right? So we say trust in ourselves, but we're not really trusting us. You know, it's really about trusting him, you know, what he said about us. You understand what I'm saying? It's more so what he's saying about us than us just trusting ourselves, because that's the thing that has been the disappointment, because we've been taught a certain thing about ourselves. So now we've got to be relabeled. We've got to identify with a new labeling because it's new management, you know. So now the ingredients list is not the same as what people told me the ingredients list was, right? So now I'm trusting in the manufacturer. I'm not trusting myself, because if I trust me, I just curl up in a ball, be like, I can't do this. But that's where the verse is, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world comes up. All of these things come up, but these are things that we've been taught. These are verses that we know by memorization.
We know them
by memorization, but we don't know them by intimately having the images of what does that look like? Greater is he that's in you. We don't know it from that perspective. You understand?
Right.
So we automatically revert to, you know, these other areas or these other things, because the world, so to speak, even though it's been church, the world system has taught us that this is the way things work. So to go back to the piece about, you know, how a lot of people are trying to function from a world perspective, here's the thing. Everything is a process, right? So just like children have to have tutors, you know, the people that are in their lives are called their tutors or their governors, people that govern their behavior, govern them. Everything is about a process. So many of us, if you weren't born into a rich family, you had to work. That's all you knew. That's what you were taught, right? And the work wasn't bad because you needed to identify how to handle other people's stuff before you handle your own. I think a lot of times what's wrong with people is that they haven't handled other people's stuff long enough to know how to handle their own, to have a value for how to handle their own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so these things are about processes. Sometimes the Father will take you back through a process because maybe you don't understand how this works. Go back and look and go back and pay attention to how the dynamics work on this level so that you can see when you get to the next level what's expected of you. You can become the leader that perpetuates what you expect out of your people. You know, so everything is about a process. You know, it's not a one size fits all. Like if you work, you don't trust Yah. No, some people have to work. Some people work because that's what they're called to do. You know, and that's how they will encounter the people that they encounter in a season that they're encountering people. You know, all kinds of different. Sometimes they go back to work or they're working because, you know, it's a barrier that had to be broken. So they had to get up from where they were, or out of the condition that they were in, and go out and go start doing something. You know, he said, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might. Now, he may call you away from that, but you were doing what you believed you needed to do in that moment that was going to create what it was he was speaking to you. You know, I'm going to share this word, and it was so prevalent yesterday. I was looking at some things because I'm making some transitions. And I was looking at some things, and the Father said, whichever you pick, I'm the one paying for it. I was like, like, I was going back and forth, like, should I do this or should I do that? Well, it's probably more wise to do this because, you know, I'm going through all of my scenarios. And he said, whichever one you pick, I'm the one paying for it. Let me think about that.
Wow.
Whichever one you pick, I'm paying for it.
Mm.
It's me. I'm the one that gives you the ability to do what it is. I'm the one that gives man ability to get wealth. I'm the one that, you know, whatever you pick, I'm paying for it. That changed my whole mentality. I didn't go way up the scale because I already know what that looks like. That's a process, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've got to be prepared for where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you don't just jump processes, but, I mean, on this level, whatever you pick, I'm paying for it, so it don't matter. Why is that a struggle? Pick and go. Let's go.
Mm. Wow.
Make a selection and let's keep it moving. Because there's got to be something. So let's just pick a, just have a selection and keep it moving. You know, things are not always as rigid as people make them. Oh, you know, I just got to wait because I need to know if you want me to be in that place or this place. Pick a place, bro. If there's something wrong with this one over here, he'll reroute you. You know what
and
I mean?
You know what that? Yeah, yeah. When you said that, and you know, sometimes it's like that because I used to find myself, you know, and even sometimes now with certain things, it's like indecisive, and the indecisiveness I know came from a state of fear because when I would make decisions. You know, when I was younger, I was told that I had to grow up fast, and I had to learn, like my aunts and my parents, I had to learn their energy and their facial expressions, and you know all that, so that I can kind of anticipate what's coming. So,
mm-hmm.
So that always put me in the state of urgency to try to know what's coming so that I can make the right decision, you know? And
mm-hmm.
so it's like later on with that decision-making, I became very indecisive because I became afraid to make a decision because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the outcome was be because I got to the place that I wanted to be, you know, perfect. I didn't want to make no mistakes. I didn't want to endure any pain. I didn't want to endure any conflict. I just wanted to have a smooth ride because it was like it was so hard before. And so I got to the place where I didn't want to make a decision. And so
mm-hmm.
even now I still struggle with that sometimes. Well, I won't say struggle. It's still a challenge for me sometimes with that
mm-hmm.
because it's like with that decision making. But when you just said that, it was just like a release and saying, you know what, even if you make the wrong decision, I'll reroute you. It's okay.
That's what he does.
You know
what That's
saying?
What he does.
It's
We're
okay.
learning. We're learning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And so
but
even with that learning, though, you know, we don't want to endure that pain, though. And that's the thing. That's the main thing that deters us from the things that we really, really want to go after and do is the fear of pain.
Okay, but check this out. Here's the thing. That's not reality.
Because mm-hmm,
when
not.
You learned how to ride a bike, you fell off. When you put
yep.
skates on, you fell down. You
yep.
know, when you rolled a skateboard,
mm-hmm.
you fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
as children, we played, we fell. When we ran, when we raced one another or played baseball,
yep.
what
yep.
there were incidences
yep.
in those processes. But that's
mm-hmm.
life. You know what I'm saying? This is life.
Yeah.
It don't mean, but if we are sons of the Most High, right, then the
mm-hmm.
blow is lessened. We don't have to worry about the blow that everybody else is concerned about because he said it's certain things that won't come nigh our dwelling. Now, you might deal with some, you know, oh, man, I didn't catch that. It's okay. You didn't. But now that you've seen it before, now if you see it again, you'll catch it. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you don't know, but if you go
That's
through,
right.
then you'll know. You know, it's no avoiding.
Yeah,
the
I get it.
No avoiding the necessity for information. You don't get information unless
yes.
you're in a situation.
Yes.
You know, you don't know healing unless you've been sick.
Yeah.
You don't understand the value of wellness unless
mm-hmm.
you've been in a position. You don't understand that. You don't understand
mm-hmm.
the value of good relationships if you only
mm-hmm.
have traumatizing, dysfunctional ones.
Wow.
You don't. you know? And that can begin with how you deal with yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Because that could be the only functional relationship. But you've got to learn how to deal with you, you know, function. Once you
exactly.
learn how to function, you and the father, you okay, you got that dynamic. Then you can identify with a functional relationship and notice what is dysfunction. But if dysfunction mm-hmm. is all a person knows and trauma is all they want to remember, then that's how they're going to mm-hmm. operate. They're going
right.
to operate from that place.
Exactly.
And that's the stronghold. I'm only operating based on – and the thing about trauma is some things don't necessarily even have to be true. If it resembles mm-hmm. what you've been through, you'll assimilate
yeah.
and say, that's exactly what I went through. And it may not even been
yeah.
like, no. It wasn't
yeah.
exactly that, but I mean, I guess it was similar, but it wasn't that.
Right.
But because it resembles it, you just accept the whole load of a thing.
Right. Because
the whole load.
I was speaking to a person one time, and this is you know, this person was the wife of a pastor, and
mm-hmm.
I was speaking to her, and it was like I was explaining that. You know, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And her words were, well, somebody was hurting me then, you know, and I was like, whoa, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you know, you just the fact of just that immediate, like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
like
just,
a trigger. This is your
yes.
defense mechanism. It's your defense.
Yes. And not mm-hmm. even realizing to say, you know what, I was wrong. You know, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I this, I that, you know. But instead it was, well, somebody was hurting me then, you know. And so it was
mm-hmm.
just like,
mm-hmm.
it was just like, then it was like, you know what came to me was that, okay, now you're the bigger, now you take the bigger role because you got the more, you have more knowledge. Because
mm-hmm.
this person didn't grow up in this area. You
mm-hmm.
have grown up in this area. This person hasn't. So it was just like, you know what? I let that go. I let
mm-hmm.
that go, and I release them, and I forgive it because they're still stuck in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
now, they're still stuck in that place because they didn't never – and that's what I was talking about. When you don't face it, when you don't address
mm-hmm.
it, you keep hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get healed. You cannot get healed.
No acknowledgement, just –
no acknowledgement, no.
You got to acknowledge it. And here's the thing we're going to do this morning as we're praying. You got to acknowledge I have caught these 11 since 6-11 this morning. It's just constant 6-11, 7-11, 8-11, 9-11. I'm looking at it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because
mm-hmm.
I somehow turn this chair around at every one of those. It's crazy. Here's the thing. Okay, so I acknowledge it, but now I need to do what the Bible tells me to do about it. And that's where the issue becomes an issue because I can acknowledge this. But after I acknowledge it, now I need to know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to need to do what I'm told to do about it. You know, like
yes.
when you're going on a fitness journey, right, or a health journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can deal with fitness or health journey. You're going to
mm-hmm.
connect with somebody that has the information that you need to take you to where you're going, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're identifying that you have an issue, that you have a problem, that you have something that needs to be addressed. So you're going to go to the person that you know has the information to address the issue. But guess what? When the instruction comes, if you don't follow the instruction, you're going to keep the issue.
There you go. That's it.
Period. They're going to say
That's
to
it.
You, listen, here's your solution. This is what I found. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm looking at. I've seen this before. This is the solution that I have for that. You're going to need to do the exercises that I tell you to do,
mm-hmm.
whether they're stretches, whether you're being rehabilitated, whatever it is. You're going to need to do
mm-hmm.
the exercises that I give you, and you're going to need to eat what I tell you to eat. So they may
mm-hmm.
give you an exercise regimen, and they may give you a food plan, a nutrition regimen or a nutrition plan.
Mm-hmm.
If you
mm-hmm.
don't do any of the things that they say to you, guess what? The problem remains.
Mm-hmm.
So we can identify the problem. And if we just identify the problem, okay, I got this problem, but we never do what the scripture says about it, then we're stuck. we're stuck in a vicious cycle of just recognizing problems. Okay, what's the solution? You know? If he said bringing every thought into captivity, then I don't have time to be afraid. I really don't. I might have felt something try to creep up on me, but now I'm bringing that. Okay, where's that coming from?
Right.
Where did that come from? What is this connected to? You know, what am I listening to?
Right.
What have I heard? Now I got to make assessments. And after I make the assessments, I got to make the adjustments that are necessary. Whatever they are. Sometimes it's getting away from people. Sometimes it's, hey, it is what it is. You know? That's like an alcoholic being delivered from alcohol but hanging out with alcoholic friends. I'm sorry. You're not going to maintain your freedom hanging with alcoholics. It's just not going to happen. You're going to be tempted. You're going to have all kind of issues if you hang with people that are not fully delivered. That could be a problem for you. So you fighting battles you don't have to fight just because you're in the company of people that don't want to be free. It's really that serious right now. This is what it's come down to. The adversary's pulling out all the stops in this season. He's like, okay, you want to serve. Yeah, I hear you. That's bet. That's a bet. So how about this? You know, he just start bringing up old stuff. And the best way to bring up old stuff is to keep you connected to old people. That's the best way to do that.
Yeah.
He ain't got to work hard. If I just keep the connection alive, I ain't got to work hard.
Yeah.
I don't have to work hard. I just keep the connection alive. If I keep the connection alive, I can let this thing die down. I can let it die down for 10 years. But on year 11, bam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The connection is alive. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's all I got to do.
That's like taking a live wire.
Listen, that wire
that's loose. You can cut the power to it, but let somebody cut that power on it and
listen,
they touch that live wire.
He's patient.
Yeah.
He is patient. He really is. Anybody else want to share? We're going to pray. Mighty God, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah.
We glorify you, Father.
Hallelujah. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise and glory. I'm thinking about the man whose child was having issues. He was being cast into the fire, into the water. The adversary was trying to kill him, trying to destroy him. And the master asked him, how long has he been with him? He said, since the child. My voice is coming back to me for some reason. I don't know if somebody got on a speakerphone or what. I don't know how that works. And at the end of the day. Okay. All right. Yeah, stop coming back to me. Okay. And at the end of the day, one of the things that he said, the master asked him, do you believe? And his response was, I do believe. But I need you to help my unbelief. No, I believe. And see, there's a difference between faith and belief. Because, see, the enemies believe and tremble. But when the master's saying, do you believe, that's just a stepping. He's saying, come on into this world. Come on into this world. First of all, you're going to need to get something in your mind. Get grasp an idea. Can you grasp the idea of your son being free? Can you imagine that? Yeah, I'm trying to get a mental picture of that, but he's been ill for so long. I'm trying to wrap my head around it, but as I'm wrapping my head around it, it seems like something's unraveling it. Help me. Help me. Well, Father, we just give you glory this morning for what you're doing in the hearts and the minds of the sons.
Yes, Lord.
All across the world.
Yes,
we're dealing with our hearts and our minds because that heart is where the issues of life come from.
Yeah.
It's the epicenter. It's the center. It's the heart of who we are. It's the place where both our spirit and our soul can actually meet there, a regenerated soul. But where there is no regeneration in the mind, the will, and the emotions, that's what the two-edged sword is about. That's what the piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit is about. You dividing things and making a delineation between things so that there will be a separation of the thing that is flesh and the thing that is spirit. And so we thank you this morning, Father, for how you're working on our hearts and our minds. You know, we're giving you full access because there are areas, there are times when sons will keep the access from the Father. They will say, you know, are you good over here? But I, you know, I'm good with you working with me over here. But in this, in my relationships, in my finances, and, you know, we all have those, have had or have those areas where we're like, yeah, I just kind of want to do it this way. But, Father, today we relinquish the right to control our own way. You're the one that is the light on the path. And you are the one that lights our path, that gives us what we need. Your word is light. The entrance of your word brings light. So not only do you light our path, but when we receive of your word, there is light in us. So everything is lit up. There's no reason for us to be walking around in darkness on no occasion. Even when you give us basic information, you show us the end, we should be able to trust because the lights are on. I'm not fumbling around in the darkness because you've already turned on the light. So I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to concern myself with this. We thank you right now for giving us the authority to pull down the stronghold. This is what you told us to do. Pulling down every stronghold, taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Mashiach. These are the things that you have. We understand our role this morning. We're not confusing our role with yours. You've given us some things to do in the earth, and we've got to manage these things the way that you have commanded us to manage them. When you said, I'll keep you in perfect peace, you gave us something that was connected to that. It's about where the mind is positioned. If our mind is stayed on you, then perfect peace is the outcome. Really what we're dealing with is a bunch of things that are predictable situations. No, success is predictable. You've shown us that. Victory is predictable. Everything about life is really predictable. It's just about positioning, starting with the mind. And once our mind is properly positioned, then our hands will do the thing that they need to do. Our feet will do the things that they need to do. We will function according to how we see the thing without having seen it. We see it by the way of the spirit without having physically seen it yet, but because we are able I have that imagery or identify those pictures based on what you're saying to us, then we can function. We can function. So we're just thanking you today that you're changing how we see things. You're changing how we do things. You're changing how we function in this season. You're changing how we function. Fear is not an operation of sons. You have not given us a spirit of fear. This is your word. So if fear is arising, then we need to identify, okay, first of all, I know where fear is coming from. I don't need to identify who's giving me fear.
Right.
I know where fear comes from. So I need to understand what is this thing that's trying, what is this thing that I'm afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
I can hand fear back. I don't need fear. Faith is how sons function. And so we exchange fear for faith today. And faith is not just believing. Faith is putting action with what we say we believe. Well, this is what I was dealing with yesterday when I was putting the action to it. I said, okay, I need this is what I need. And so I began to identify and look for what I need. It was some things I was identifying this morning. I said, okay, I need to replace that. Let me get another one of those, right? Let me get another one. Because there's some things I didn't notice about what I had. Okay, that has some limitations, and I don't need it to have those kind of limitations because of what I do. So because of the limitations of the thing, I need to replace it with a thing that has less limitations because it's the right way for me to operate, right? So it just is what it is. It's got to be replaced, you know? Got to be replaced. There's no need for trying to figure out any. I don't need to ponder anything else about it. I don't need to identify why I missed that or, you know. I think, you know, we waste so much time, Father. Help us not to waste time on things that don't matter.
Yes.
Help us not to waste time and energy on stuff that's insignificant. It's insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's not functional to what I needed to be functional to and how I missed that, it don't matter how I missed it. So now I'm fixing it. Now that I'm identifying it, I'm fixing it. It's got to be replaced. Got to be replaced. And we're not going to fear the things that need to be replaced. We're not going to fear the things that need to be repaired. This is all a part of life. I believe that most of the conversation that you're having with us this morning is just to remind us that life consists of these things. This is life consists of processes. Life consists of a thing being established or identified or defined. Then there's a process and then there's a production. This is simple. This is what life consists of. Define, process, produce. It's what life consists of. We're not going to get around that. That's how things work. That's the systems of life in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need to be okay with that system and be a participant in the system. Because see how we deal with it, from a mental perspective, it's either going to make the process an easy process or a difficult process. Father, we're mindful of what happened with the children of Israel. Mindful. You took them through a process. You not only took them out of captivity, you took them into the wilderness. You made some promises to them to take them to a land that you promised. They got all the way to the land, and then they didn't have the right conversation when they got there. They didn't have the right mentality. And even the people that didn't go in, they heard the two that had the right mentality, but they chose the ten's mentality. It still goes back to our mind.
Yep.
All roads are pointing to the mind this morning. So we give ourselves
you
to listen, that you would renew our minds. What is our focus? What do we see?
Yes.
It goes back to what do you see?
Yeah.
Because if you only see negativity, then that's all you're going to receive. That's all you're going to produce. That's all you're going to manifest. If you only see fear, then you're only going to get fearful things. You're not going to get a function that's going to produce something fabulous because you're fearful.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the fabulous in fear.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you today for washing us by the water of your word. And again, that's the key, is the word. The word is what affects the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in environments where the word of people are being spoken, you need to be mindful of what's being said, how it's being said, what the motive is behind what's being said, and how it's impacting you. Because even if you think that it's not impacting you today, if that's what you're connected to, and that's what keeps speaking to you, at some point, your defenses are going to be down. Because faith comes by hearing. I don't care what it is. Anybody that wants to perpetuate a lie in the earth, they're going to keep saying it over and over again. Hint, hint. If they keep saying it over and over again, that's because they want you to believe it. It's not so. That's just what they want you to believe it's so. Because something that is so, you don't have to keep repeating it. You don't have to keep repeating it. Yeah, because you don't have to convince anybody. You know, there's no convincing necessary. If you bought a new car, people don't have to keep saying, oh, no, she bought a new car. No, she bought a new car. Everybody sees the new car. This is evidence. The fact that it happened is evident. It doesn't have to keep being reiterated. Oh, no, they got married. No, they got married. You didn't know they got so-and-so and so-and-so got married. Everybody can see that. The only thing that has to keep being repeated over and over again in the world space is things that you need to be convinced of. And from a spiritual perspective, there are things we need to be convinced of. That's why we have to keep reading the word over and over. And when that thing becomes evident to you, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can take it from you. When you get on the other side of fear, nobody can take you back to fear. You're not going to connect yourself with fearful places and fearful things. Do you know that children emulate what their parents do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we better be mindful of what we're emulating.
Right.
Because that means that somebody's proposing to be our parent. That was something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's proposing that they're our parent when they try to put us in this position and we adhere to the position that we're being put in. That's why we got to take captive thoughts, because if you don't captivate or take captive that thought, then you may actualize the thought. Now, having the thought is not the issue. It's what you do with it.
Gotcha.
It's what you do with it. Because thoughts are going to come. All kinds of things are going to come to you. It's what you do with what's coming to you that decides who you are and what you're functioning with. How you're functioning is who you're functioning with. We thank you, Father, for calling us to this place of identification in this season. There are some areas that we're not quite sure of, but we know you are. Yeah. There's some things we don't have all the details about, but we know you do. And your spirit knows your heart and searches your heart, the very mind of who you are. So if the Holy Spirit lives in us and we have your mind in us, it's already in there. We got everything that we need in us. If we're operating by Holy Spirit, we got everything we need when we need it. It's on tap. It's like going to the water faucet and I'm thirsty. Let me turn on this faucet. So now you're dealing with appetite.
Yeah.
Because now we got a hunger and thirst after righteousness to be filled with it.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have a hunger or a thirst for that, then there's no filling. So whatever we're after, whatever our hunger is, whatever our thirst is, that's what's filling us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's filling us. Our desire is you this morning. That's our desire. Your will, your way.
Yeah.
Your kingdom. Your plan, your purposes. That's our desire this morning. We pray that the kingdom would come and that your will would be done in the earth, just as it is in heaven. We thank you.
Mm-mm-mm.
We thank you. Trauma. We address the trauma in the lives of the sons this morning.
We acknowledge
every attack of the enemy to rehearse, to rebirth, to breathe life into old things that are needing to be released.
Yes,
we take authority over it now.
Yes,
we will not function out of our trauma.
Yes.
We will not allow the trauma of past to be the leading spirit in our new relationships and how we function and how we do what we do in our now.
Amen.
It will not rule. It will not reign. We thank you for the healing that comes from your word to every area of trauma. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all our diseases. Dis-ease, anything that would put us not at ease is a dis-ease.
Yes, Lord.
Not just cancer. It's not just, you know, tuberculosis. It's not just AIDS. It's not just those things. Those are terminal illnesses. But dis-ease is speaking to the whole man. It's speaking to the mind. It's speaking to the body. It's speaking to the spirit. It's speaking to every part of us. We thank you for being the Father that restores the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Thank you. Thank you. But before we get to the restored soul place, it's because we've allowed you to make us lie down. If we allow you to make us lie down in green pastures and lead us beside still waters, that's where the part he restores my soul comes in at. You don't just do it because you just do it. You do it because we follow. You're doing it because we're identifying that you're leading us somewhere. And when we make you the priority, when we make you the lead, then we can come to that place of restoration. And as we're on that journey, when we're walking in different directions and exploring different things, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear evil. We don't have to do any of that because you're with us. You are with us. We thank you this morning for being with us.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us, Father. Thank you for not leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you for reminding us by your Spirit who we are and what you've called us to do. Thank you for keeping that in front of us.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for keeping it in front of us. That thing that you keep hearing repeated, that thing that you keep hearing repeated throughout your life over and over again, that's he's calling you.
Mm.
Even a thing that pisses you off, you've been called to that. That's still a repeat. It's still a reminder of something. The areas where you've been traumatized, he's calling you.
My.
Help us to get past ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can help the people that you're calling us to. Help us not to be selfish.
Amen.
We refuse to be selfish this morning, focusing on ourselves, our problems, our issues.
Mm.
If starting over is what you need, then there's a message in that. There's something we didn't get in another season that you want us to get this time. You're like, slow down. Now go back to the top. Go back to the top. Slow down now. Walk back through it. You know how many times I went over my multiplication facts when I was in grade school? Over and over. My God, it just felt like it was never going to end. Got to keep going back to this over and over and over. Why? Because the math is getting ready to get greater. You know, you already changed lanes. You're about to do algebra now. This ain't addition and subtraction no more. But you better know them multiplication facts if you're going to do algebra. Better know that multiplication if you're going to divide. So you got to go back over it. Okay. The wealthiest people in the world will tell you this. What they call failure, they failed before they became fabulous. I can't even remember how many times they said Edison failed at experiments before he came up with.
It was in the thousands.
Henry Ford, another one. Anybody that you speak to that is on any level of success financially, I'm only dealing with financially right now. They didn't get there because they didn't miss something or they didn't have to start over. They had to keep starting over. Okay, let's scrap that. Let's go back to the drawing board. Okay, that didn't work. Let's scrap that. Let's go back to the drawing board. Over and over again. Tesla. Nikola Tesla, same thing. It didn't happen all at once. Now, I'm going to tell you something, though. The difference between the learning curve with Sun and other people is completely different. So now the issue is that you won't get in the ring at all. So you don't even know how fast you can move to the thing that he's calling you to based on your learning curve not being that great. Something happened with me last week. It was some things, and I felt like, man, this is a learning curve, Father. I don't know. I'm not sure of this, you know. But I just began to decree, you know what? sons don't have the same learning curve that everybody else got. You advance us past the major learning curves to get to where we're going because it's for your name's sake that we arrive there.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get there before everybody else. We need to know it when they don't know it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the scenario was with Daniel and with Joseph? They knew something that the other guys didn't know, right? Okay. So because we know that word, we can become that word in the earth. He gives us to know a thing when nobody else knows it. That has to be the conversation. We can't just look at, okay, we're looking at the fact that they, quote unquote, failed all those times before they got to the actual product, the actual outcome. But that's not our portion. But you got to get in the ring first. It didn't take Peter 12 tries before he walked on the water. He wasn't like, okay, wait, let me get back in the boat, step back out. Let me get my foot in right. Hold on. Oh, fell again. No, he just said help. When he said help, he regained his focus. And when he regained his focus, he regained his footing. Oh, boy. When he regained his focus, he regained his footing. Can you talk about focus a little bit this morning, Prophet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to have that focus to have the right footing. Because you're only going to go in the direction that your heart is set on. You're not going to go in another direction.
That's right.
You're not going to go in another direction. If your heart is set on this thing, you're going in that direction.
Mm.
Father, give us a clean heart this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a clean heart. Good morning, Prophet. You got something you want to share this morning?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
I got a couple of scriptures that came to mind as you all were talking, speaking
yes, ma'am.
This morning.
Yes,
Philippians 3:13-14.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
brethren,
ma'am.
I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one
yes.
thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind
yes.
and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press
yes.
toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in
yes.
Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's the first one.
That's good.
And I wrote down past hurts, past
mm-hmm.
failures, past rejections,
mm-hmm.
past disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes past wins, don't get
mm-hmm.
stuck in the past.
Don't get stuck. Come on now.
Because I'm saying even with the wins, sometimes we get content. Okay, well,
yes.
I did this. No,
yes.
you still got to keep pressing because
mm-hmm.
you can't get stuck in the win either because we got to keep moving forward.
It's more work.
Yeah,
it's
win, more
work.
Mm-hmm. And
so good.
Joshua 1:8,
mm-hmm.
this book of the law shall not depart out of thy
your
mouth, but thou
mm-hmm.
shalt meditate day and night. Psalms 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in
mm-hmm.
his law doth he meditate day and night.
Go back to Joshua 1, because after verse 8, it says something. After the meditation, something happened.
Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. But again, that's that instruction and that direction, you know.
Mhm.
If we don't follow the instruction and we don't get the results, we'll get stuck, like you're saying. We'll get stuck. What does verse 9 say? Read verse 8 and then read 9 and 10.
Okay, I got to go to it because I wrote these down.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah.
You know, I'm multitasking.
Yes,
today.
Ma'am.
I'm actually on a Zoom, too.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Verse 9, 8, 9, 8, 9, and 10.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Man, it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Not I'm going to make your way prosperous. You make your own way prosperous by just doing what I tell you to do. Don't stop talking. Go ahead, prophet. What?
Have not I commanded thee, be strong
and of good courage.
Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee
wherever you
whithersoever thou goest.
Listen, wherever you go, whithersoever you go, he is there. So what is this? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? We're afraid of the conversations that have been had. But understand, that's the same thing that got Elijah caught up after he destroyed 850 prophets of Baal. Now here come Jezebel's messenger catching up with him like, I got a message for you. Words. What are these conversations? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? Because everything that you're listening to and hearing is producing something.
Amen.
You know, some of the things we got to deal with that have already been heard. And so these are the things that we got to bring into captivity, because they've set up residence in us somewhere, and they come up at the opportune time when the opportunity presents itself. So we got to deal with the things that we've already, you know, some things we got to go back and really deal with ourselves and repent. I remember another season, this was years ago. Man, this was years ago. And there was, anybody, you guys remember the book The Secret, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I never wanted to read that book. I never wanted to read that book because I understood by way of the Holy Ghost that it was diabolic. I was not trying to read up on witchcraft or no kind of any kind of thing like that. I didn't want to know. It wasn't for me. Okay. However, years later, the adversary would come to me with the thing that's in the book. I didn't know it was in the book. This thing about the law of attraction. You know, a lot of believers adhere to that. That's not a spot for us. That's totally contradictory, even though it's similar to how things work from a spiritual perspective. It's not one and the same. It's not one and the same, just as much as not one and the same is the difference between a prophet and a soothsayer. So if you've been exposed to that kind of thing, right, or you've adhered to that, then you've adhered to darkness and don't know it. So fear could come from that. I like stones and all of these different things, but, you know, the world has all this stuff now. I've always liked rocks since I was a kid. I didn't know nothing about people trying to do crystals and trying. I didn't know nothing about that. My perspective is completely different on that. The Father created these things, right? And they do have value and all of that. But how people utilize things is a completely different story. So if you become open to that, to how people use stuff like that, just like people using sage instead of prayer, okay? If you open yourself up to that, you open yourself up to that connectivity with darkness, and then that's where these things are perpetuating themselves. Fear, all this is where these entryways come. We got to identify the entryways. It's a word somewhere. It's some word somewhere that we're given, that we're declared, that we're spoken. And that's where these things are coming from. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as your family, you know, people you're connected to, they're like, oh, well, they're not going to amount to nothing, or they ain't about nothing or whatever. And you take on the same mentality. I'm probably not worthy. I'm not. No. That's not what we're doing.
I think that's one of the main roots of things when it's dealing with me. Yeah, I think that's one of the main roots that I
still challenging, because I had a dream. I was just telling my sister this just a day before yesterday about having value. And I dreamed about, you know, this lady telling me I had value sitting in front of my mother. And my mother didn't impart her mouth. You know, she just shook her head like in agreement, but her facial expression was like shocked, just what the lady was saying. So I think that's one of the things, and that's some of the stuff that we do need to overcome. Like what I, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm still in a place of no blame, because it's she was taught, you know, and she can only give what she you know how to give. And then even if she did know better and she just decided not to give, that's still on her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I gotta get beyond all that.
Yeah, we gotta get delivered from people.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I had said that. I told my sister, like, I had to get past that, because I can't, what the Father gave me was, she may have bore you, but she didn't create you. I created you.
Hello? With purpose.
And now that, you know, so that's where I'm at. So that's why I keep reiterating to myself, when I could tell myself I could do the things that I, you know, was like, you know, a lot through my childhood, she would call me stupid. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of that stuff, you know, like you said, the root of those things. And so it's like those things still, you know, the challenge is there. So with that, now the Father's coming in and saying, okay, I got something else for you. That's where, you know, I think, because the bottom line comes down to, for me, is that, are we believing, and like before I said, do we believe in ourselves? Because if you don't have no confidence in yourself, you said you don't have no God confidence. So
that's
we got to believe
low,
in ourselves that we can do what the Father has called us to do. We got to believe in ourselves, and knowing that when we come to a challenge, he's giving us the equipment to arise to that challenge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am, in the believing in myself, believing in the you know, the gifts that he's given me, believing in what, you know, or how to utilize what he's given me. You know what I mean?
I can do all things.
Yeah, I can. And yes, that is my scripture. That is it. That is it. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that meaning I can do it because I know he did it. He was my example of it being done.
Yes.
You know, so because he was the example of it being done, he's the epitome of it being accomplished. And he said, you go do it, I can do it.
Yes.
You know, this is not deep. This is not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not rocket science. He said it could be done, it's done.
Yes.
Just a matter of me having the focus that he had, giving the attention to the details that he gave attention to, following his steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Father, we just give you praise. We give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
I'll tell you, one of the things that we're not going to do in this season is we need to play with no devils, not in this season. When you get confronted with that stuff, you just need to cast that stuff out, you know? Because some of it is a spirit. The spirit of fear, he said he's not giving us a spirit of fear, so where it comes from? You cast that devil out. Be like, no, there's no fear here. We walking in faith and victory here. I don't have nothing to fear. I'm just going to follow instructions. How can we be fearful following instructions? It's not like we don't have instructions. We do. We do. And again, it's that church mentality that people gave, where you're trying to figure out, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait to see what he going, you know, I'm just going to sit here and figure it out, or I'm going to sit here and wait till I hear a word. Okay, well, if you know you got to go buy a car, right? If you know that that's the first word he gave, you need a car or you need a vehicle. You're going to either get up and go to the car dealership and start looking at vehicles, look online at vehicles. You're going to do something that pertains to getting a car, right?
So
let me show you how simple this was. When my daughter needed a new car, she didn't have her down payment. So I bought her car for the price of the down payment to get her in her new car.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't I didn't come up. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit. I still could have been like, wow, I don't know how you're going to get that. Or I could have gave it a down payment and never thought about, you know what? Yeah, I could do that.
Right.
I could have gave her a down payment just as being her mother and been like, I'm going to buy my own car. I don't want that. It's a good working car. I got to replace some things because just for my taste, some things got to be done to it, you know. But the car runs, it runs excellent and it's good on gas, you know. So I could have been like, oh, here's the down payment. Just give it back to me. And just went on about my business and still, you know, been without transportation. But in that moment, I identified to seize a moment.
Right.
Yeah. This just really how simple it is. He's like, okay, this is what we going to do right here. Okay, so you do that and get that. And then, you know, it was just simple. It looked easy, but at the end of the day, it was still him. Because he had to put something in her heart for having a new car. And she already got a car note. Right? Normally people have car notes. They don't want two cars. They don't want to pay two car notes, right? Okay. Got to be able to maximize those opportunities as they come up. Walk through those doors as they're coming up. That means we have to identify, what do we see? What do we see? Got to see something, though. Got to take the time to see. Mighty God, we praise you. Yeah, we're not playing with devils in this season. When we see them, we're just going to say what we need to say and keep it moving. Because, this devil playing dumb in this season. He's playing real dumb. He's playing dumb, and I'm not in the mood. You just can't be in the mood for dumb in this season, I promise you. You get to that place where you're like, I'm not in the mood. You know how you get when you're in your I'm not in the mood place, right? That's how we got to be with the adversary in this season. I'm not in the mood.
Scripture say casting down imagination.
Yes, ma'am.
That
and
it will exalt itself.
Come
right, that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. What do you know? What do you know? What do you know?
That's it. That's it. That's what saved the master and brought him out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, because he knew something. Yeah, he knew something.
So back to the meditating day and night.
That's it, day and night. He wasn't just quoting scripture. He was quoting what he knew. You know, it's the difference between quoting scripture and quoting what you know. Because you could quote verses doesn't mean you know verses.
Right.
You know? People quote stuff all the time and have no clue what it means. Child, touch not mine anointed. You know, like what?
Right.
Where'd that even come from? We're not even on that, you know? Just throwing stuff out there, you know?
Even when you say that, that goes into when they used to say that, you know, in the churches, that mentality, and even the churches perpetuate fear. Because they utilize that fear to manipulate
keep you in control.
And so when that scripture was used, it was like, yes, don't do my prophet no harm. So it's like
don't
if you did something to them, God was gonna do something to you. You know what I mean?
Don't challenge me, don't question me.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, but what if you doing something wrong to God's child? What you think? Gonna happen
to
you?
Same thing. Touch not mine anointed. That's right. Yeah. Well, honey, the Bible say wherever the sole of your feet trod. No, that ain't what it said, honey. It's not. They were in a particular area. He said from this river Euphrates to that over there. He gave them boundaries. So if you say wherever the bottom of my feet trod, no. How's that possible? Because he had to have given territory to somebody else too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how is that going to be?
Mm-hmm.
We all going to wind up in the same territory tomorrow. Honey, wherever the bottom of my feet trod. No, he ain't. He's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing that. He's going to give us boundaries for the blessing. He's not going to just, it's not going to just be an open situation. My God. I love y'all. Peace to your house. We're going to get out of here. We'll be on tomorrow morning. We'll be on tomorrow morning at 8:00. and be ready
Amen.
For prayer. We're going to cast some particular spirits down. We're going to deal with some things. I think we kind of hit on what we needed to hit on. We knocked on the door this morning, but tomorrow we're going to really address these spirits as they need to be addressed, because they need to know that they don't have a residence with us. They credit not good with us. Ain't no space for them, you know. We're just not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not entertaining it. Not entertaining it at all. Amen. Not entertaining
Amen.
It. Yep. I love y'all. Peace to your house. Listen, the body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. And we're thanking you for being here with us this morning. Again, we'll be here for the next 27 days of prayer and victory and uncommon victory. And we want you to be here with us. So share it and let somebody else know that we're here. Come on and join the line if you want to call in. 515-602-9662. Is the number to call in. If you've got questions, you can do it that way. Or you can get in the chat room and ask as many questions as you want, and we can answer those questions while we're here on the line. All right? Peace to your house, y'all. We're going to play the music, and we are out.
Peace.
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 Peace.